The title to today's devotion is Be Steadfast, Unmovable. On my first visit to Romania, soon after communism had been broken, on more than one occasion I heard folks say that visitors from abroad often promised they will go back home and get support and return with much needed aid. But sadly, on many occasions, these promises have turned out to be broken promises, words without action. How often we have been given promises of receiving something or an invitation to something special that we enjoy, and much to our disappointment, it has not happened. In my youth, before I met my wife Chris, with my parents occupied with the business of running a farm, they had no time to support me. I would be looking to meet friends to use up my spare time. In those teenage years, I needed a bolt hole. I wanted to know there was a place or friends always available for me to go. Thankfully, we had a Christian youth centre close by where I was welcome. They always made me so welcome that doors were open to me. I knew I had somewhere and someone to fellowship with. Feeling that security is not something you can see, it is something you feel and experience in your heart. The warmth of friends and fellow Christians you know embrace you wholeheartedly. You do not need to question their love and loyalty, you just know. When you're with them, you feel you are part of the community. You feel secure with them. You trust what they say. You're willing for them to guide and help you. We're living in a society that an ever-increasing number of homes are dysfunctional. The children are neglected. The disruptive friction of the parents forces the children onto the street. They get into the wrong company. They soon get into trouble with the authorities, often ending up in jail. Most recently, we've celebrated Father's Day, where mum and children unite to get dad a happy, thankful day, a day of fun and enjoyment. How many children are unable to celebrate with their father because he has left the household? The tragedy of war in Ukraine has created many homes without a father. Children who have not had a father will not understand or know what it is to have a father who loves his wife and his children. His family are top priority in his life. The father does have to work to bring money to live, but he makes valuable time and space to give them his undivided attention. Whenever difficulty arises, especially with the children, he wholeheartedly will fight their corner and fully commit to their well-being. Children brought up in that environment feel secure and happy. It gives them confidence when facing all the difficulties life throws them. That confidence enables them to do well at school. They will seek out friends of like mind and begin to build lives full of purpose, giving back what their father and mother have taught them. To be brought up and taught by your parents about having a heavenly father brings in even greater security and happiness into their lives. To be brought up by parents who know a loving Heavenly Father and have taught their children how perfect their Heavenly Father is, and knowing their Heavenly Father will help them to make the best decision in life and protect them when danger crosses their path, will be such a wonderful experience, a solid security only God can give. For you to know your Heavenly Father is only a call away. He is open to our call 24/7. You'll find his immediate loving response, as he tells us in Psalm 145:17-19. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. When you invite him into your life, he will become your heavenly father. He will treat you as if you were the only child or person on the planet. You simply need only to ask him into your life. How many times I have heard folk cry out to God, "If you are real God, show me." The psalmist cried out to the Lord in Psalm 116 when he says, "I love the Lord, for he has heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he had turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguishes of the grave came over me. I was overcome with distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, 'I am greatly afflicted.' In my alarm I said, 'Everyone is a liar.' In my grown-up years, I am so thankful to God for those Christians who showed constant care and support. They were always there for me. Out of the words of the Apostle in Hebrews 13:7-9, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Those Christian friends showed consistency. They showed faithfulness. Yet I have to remember it is because they followed the consistency of their Heavenly Father. How vital it is to be brought up in a warm, loving family, a family which consists of husband and wife. The children know they are loved by their parents. They know they can turn to them at any time for help, being assured their parents will fight their corner. Even better, to be brought up in a Christian home where God's love is shown, as we read in Psalm 22:5-6. In the paths of the wicked are snares and pitfalls, but those who would preserve their life stay far from them. Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. It should be our duty as Christians to uphold truth, to be reliable and trustworthy. The title to my devotion today is taken from 1 Corinthians 15:58, which is taken from the King James Version. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. So, let us begin to take a closer look at these three statements. First, the meaning to steadfast. It means to be resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering, staying on the path you have wisely taken. How often, when under pressure, having to make a decision, we find ourselves changing our mind. If we're constantly changing our minds, folk will not trust us. How can we expect folk to take us as a good example? In the Old Testament, we read about a king who was unwavering. The Bible says this in 2 Chronicles 27:6. Jotham grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord his God. A promise made by God is made in Isaiah 26:3. You, God, will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Discover that God is trustworthy gives us strength, as we read in Psalm 112:7. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. So let us seek to be steadfast. Stay in the course that God has set for us. Let us now look at the meaning to be unmovable. That is easily understood. It's not being able to be moved. We read in James 1:5-7, "If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." If we're uncertain about anything, we can so easily keep changing our minds. We need to be steadfast and unmovable, showing strength of character and resolute. It is what I call having stickability. Then we come to the third part of the verse, which tells us to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. What does that mean? That does not just mean our daily work activities. It means in all we do, we should be seeking to do and live the life of a Christian. We should be seeking help in practical ways, as well as seeking to lead folk into becoming a Jesus follower. It should be our way of life. It can be practical and spiritual. The world is on the edge of a great famine. If the war in Ukraine does not stop soon, folk, even in this country, have insufficient money, are unable to buy food. We need to brace ourselves for what is on the horizon. But we read in Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Mankind needs spiritual food too. Chris and I, each week, are meeting folk who have dysfunctional lifestyles. They have no experience of a stable traditional family and been taught about the Christian faith. We as Christians have that responsibility to live and show by example how to live in a world that is in fast decay. Early in June 2022, we celebrated the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. Thousands were seen outside Buckingham Palace celebrating. On Friday the 3rd of June, a service of thanksgiving was held for the Queen's reign at St. Paul's Cathedral. I would like to read an extract from the sermon given by the Archbishop of York. In his celebration message, the Archbishop of York quoted from Philippians 4, verse 9. "Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." The Archbishop went on to say, of course, the "me" in this sentence is Paul himself, but Paul is only worth following because he's a follower of Jesus. And Jesus is worth following because Jesus shows us who God is and what our humanity could be. And there are many occasions in the Gospels where we see Jesus himself, faithful to his vocation, seeking out places of replenishing so that he can learn God's ways. The Archbishop then quoted what Jesus said in John 5:19. "I only do what I see the Father doing." The Archbishop continues, "For me, the best leaders like Paul, like Jesus, are those who know how to be led. People who lead for others, not themselves. People whose heart's desire is to serve the common good and build up the common life. Who don't try to do it all themselves or act in their own strength alone. People who take a longer view and who seek out places of replenishing, even places where they might learn the mind of Christ." And I say this today, knowing that in Her Majesty the Queen, we see an example of this kind of service, a staunch consistency and a steadfast consistency, a faithfulness to God, an obedience to a vocation that is the bedrock of her life. No, bedrock isn't quite the right image. Faith in Jesus Christ is a fountain, and it is a well. It is a well from which we draw deeply and replenish ourselves of all the challenges, joys, and vicissitudes of life. And it is a fountain overflowing with immense joy. Joy that we can live in the assurance that we are loved. Joy that God has a purpose for our lives. And joy that through Christ dying and rising, there is a promise of eternal life. Sometimes people say to me that the Christian faith is just a prop. I can't agree more. I'm not ashamed to say I lean on Jesus Christ, that I'm trying to live close to his heart, that I need his wisdom and his hope. And if you will forgive such presumption, this is what I also see in your majesty. The Archbishop was referring to the Queen. And to the people of our great nation, I say this. We are indeed living in a time of uncertainty and challenge. And we would do well to consider where we will find and replenish what we need. What I see in Her Majesty the Queen is someone who has been able to serve our nation faithfully because of her faith in Jesus Christ. Perhaps there is no better way to celebrate her Platinum Jubilee than by doing the same ourselves. I was so blessed to hear the Archbishop clearly define what was the Queen's bedrock, where she could turn when great difficulty and challenges arose. We often hear that the Queen's faith is her vital rock to lean on, but we need to define what they mean by having a faith, because we hear about many faiths in this world. We need to understand it is not just a faith. The Queen has a strong, undaunting trust and a faithful relationship with and in a person, and that person is in Jesus Christ. The Queen also knows him as her Heavenly Father, together with the third party of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who lives in her and will guide her thoughts and decisions. At some point in our lives, we all lose our earthly parents. But knowing God as our Heavenly Father, we can have that solid security in someone who is steadfast and unmovable, who is always encouraging us to abound in the work of the Lord. Are we a good role model to our friends, our families, our children, our great-grandchildren, our spiritual children? Can we say the same words today? What the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Be encouraged. As Paul boldly said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, as in New English Version, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labour in the Lord is not in vain. We have in our Queen a wonderful example of being steadfast and being unmovable. But as we have discovered, it is only by keeping ourselves close to the one we should be looking to as our prime example, King Jesus, who the Bible says is the same yesterday, today and forever. Let us join with the songwriter who has penned these words, Jesus is King, and I will exalt him.
Shit.